Hello and welcome back to the Strong Fit Run podcast. As always, my name is Reese, and thank you for joining me for this episode. This one's quite an exciting one, as they all are, or at least I believe they are. This episode I talk a lot about meal prep and how to kind of implement it into your life, if whether you need to do proper meal prep, which often people think of as, you know, cook the food up and put it in a little tub in the microwave and that sort of stuff. So I cover a lot about that, cover a lot about how to implement other aspects of meal prep and at least my version or my perception of meal prep that's more suitable to you and your own personal lifestyle, your goals, that kind of thing. So it's not what you'd usually expect meal prep to be. So I talk a lot about that. I reflect a lot with my own stories and even calls I've had with my online coaching clients that we've had when they potentially struggle with things, and sometimes it's just really good to get on a phone call and help that sort of stuff out. So I hope you enjoy this episode. I hope you take something away from it, as always. And again, please leave me some reviews, leave me some loving, leave me some five-star ticky boxes, and I hope you enjoy the episode and take it away, as always. Thank you very much, guys. Hope you enjoy. Hello, and welcome back to the Strong Fit Long podcast. As always, my name is Reese. Now, it's a pleasure for you to join me today. I'm a little bit excited because I've got some new kit that I'm trying out. Some proper microphone, condenser microphone? That's the one, I think, yes. If you didn't know, I did music tech at college years and years ago. I've got friends who still dabble in it a bit, so they help me out with this sort of thing. So I'm excited because obviously now my audio is going to be good. Well, that's a good thing or a bad thing for you. You can hear my kind of voice better. I don't know, but I think it's good. So again, today's really hot. It's a sunny ass day in, well, I am in Northamptonshire in the old UK. It's quite nice to have some heat, to be fair. A lot of crappy weather, and obviously the summer here. If you're from the UK, you understand that the summer here sometimes sucks. It can be roasting hot. I think it's about 33 degrees today, so it'll be quite hot. The centigrade, of course. That's like, I don't know, 105, I guess, in Fahrenheit. I'm not too sure on that sort of stuff, but it's going to be a nice day. You can go outside, that sort of stuff, but I've got lots of housework to do. Doing a load of DIY, if you will, decorating, doing some carpets being laid, all that sort of stuff going on, then a patio in the next couple of months. So, quite a busy guy. I'm going to be hot as crap to do lots of stuff, but, you know, I think any time is good enough to do some stuff to the house or whatever you're going to do, you know. But it's quite nice to be outside, get sunburnt. Always make sure you put on your sunscreen, of course, because otherwise you'll burn like crap. Now, this episode, back on topic real quickly, this episode is really about meal prep. Now, this came on an idea I had because I had to get on a phone call with a client, one of my online coaching clients, but also we're speaking to people in person about this subject. So, if you don't know, this episode's all about meal prepping. I'll kick my phone off from there. Meal prepping, what you should do it, what shouldn't you do, what kind of ideas have I got that I can impart into you to actually put into place in your daily lives, and kind of the best practices, that kind of thing. So, I think this is really important because a lot of people, when they talk about meal prep, at least they see a lot of people on like a bodybuilding kind of thing, that kind of perspective. I think that they look at that and think, oh, it's so much hard work. I'm so regimented with this, that, and the other. And that can be very true. And when you look at like professional athletes, I'm going to go the bodybuilding route here. Now, simply because I've experienced this kind of, not first time with myself, but yes, first time with myself, but also with people who I know who are doing it. And I got another friend who's kind of the same, but then different. So I'll go through all these things with you guys, because I think it's really important to understand that just because, for example, just because people talk about meal prep doesn't mean it's cooking all your food put it in a little Tupperware box, take it to work with you, microwaving it out, pre-portion everything out, this, that, and the other. It doesn't mean that at all. What it means is preparing your food. It's in the term, right? I think one of the biggest things in my experience, and even with my own personal experience with what I've done in the past myself, and what I found works for me, what I found doesn't work for me, what I found works for the clients, what I found doesn't work for the clients, and just people asking questions, that kind of thing. I think one of the biggest things is that it's got to be sustainable. So, you know, the idea that if you take your food and you pre-portion out into Tupperware boxes, and that's how you want to live life, and for me, that's not much of a life. I mean, I did that when I was younger. When I was very much in the bodybuilding scene, I wanted to be a bodybuilder and all this sort of stuff. But it's all I sort of knew before I got into sort of powerlifting and things. And it took over my life. Absolutely took over everything I did. Was it enjoyable? Nope. Because every single time I'm thinking of doing meal prep. So in this sense, the meal prep is cooking food in batches. I might be cook like 5 kilos of chicken for a couple of days worth of food, and cooking them in the oven in a full tray, or whether it's going to be pretty bland, maybe a little bit of seasoning on them, and then popping in with some rice and things. And that's kind of how it all went. You know, when I was doing it myself, I think it becomes to a point where it's regimented, and the kind of the expectation of people regiments it, where it's not really living. And that's the biggest thing. We're never going to eat. I never went out and ate out. I mean, when I was 18, 19, I wasn't particularly old at all. And, you know, I'm pushing 32 now. So a decade ago, all this stuff was. But it's very much sapping your life. Now, for some people, and I admire these people because, that's, you know, it's pretty great that they can really do this and stick it to it, and it's, you know, and kind of almost sustain it for short periods of time, because people might have to do a 20-week cut, even 16-week cuts to get into stage ready. But then after that, you find a lot of them kind of binge. So that's not sustainable, in my view, at least to me. And a lot of people won't, because if you are super strict with yourself for 16 weeks, 20 weeks, you know, half a year to get into shape for a show where people just look at your body and go, I like that, or I'm not too fond of that. And I think bodybuilding is one of those things that if you kind of dissect it, and actually Arnold Schwarzenegger spoke about this in the Total Rebuild, which is a 1980s thing. Bodybuilding is funny, if you really look at it, is you are getting into the smallest amount of clothing or pants, whatever you could possibly wear, and other people make you win or lose based on their opinion, a whole opinion, on how your body looks. And you think about it that way, it's really funny. I mean, there's other sports, things like powerlifting, things like rugby, football, soccer, all those sort of things. You know, it's very tangible, so you can, you know who wins because they score the most points, or score the most goals, or home runs, or whatever it's going to be. But bodybuilding and any of those subcategories within that, like bikini, training physique, all those sort of things, they're just people going, oh, I like this person, I like that person, I like their body, and it's a pain in the ass. There's no real kind of winning. But those people who like to do it, great, I admire them. I have a couple of friends who do it, and they go through some serious, some challenges when they're doing it, and I admire them. It's not for me at all, because I don't want to be in a position where I have to be super strict for that amount of time, just for someone to, you know, look at my body and other like this, like that, and whatever. So I've got off topic a bit then, but the strictness, that's the point, isn't it? The strictness. So the strictness to this is, everything has to be planned out. You know, there are companies out there that kind of make your food for you and prepare your food into a position where you literally just microwave it up, and it's got, you know, the calories, the fats, the carbs, the protein levels where you've requested them to be at, or, you know, so it's all the same. And they're manufactured obviously mass scale with a small menu, or even a quite large menu in some cases, so everything's the same. But they're not cheap. I mean, it's not super expensive, but obviously you can, if you can cook and you can make food yourself, it's amazing, you know. And that's one of the things I always say to lots of people: learn to cook. If you can learn to cook, you can feed yourself for a gazillion years, or long as you're alive. It will be cheaper because it's fun as well. It can be a family thing. There's a guy called Paul Carter, and it was a really interesting listen to a podcast he was on with one of my mentors, Jordan Syatt. And they talk about his cheap meals and how he makes it into a family affair. So he sits there with his kids and they make this food together. And it becomes a enjoyable event or activity they do together. And, you know, that's bonding time for them. So that's really, really important for that sort of stuff. But, I mean, I've gone off topic a little bit with this. But meal prep doesn't have to be so rigid. So if we talk about meal prep itself. So I said at the beginning, meal prep is preparing the food. Yeah? It doesn't have to be in, and sometimes Tupperware, brilliant. I've done that, you know. Make some sauce, make some chicken, bit of rice in there. You know, if you want to have some garlic bread with it, whatever, bang it in, take it to work, chuck it in the nuka, off you're done. That's how I do my food. And I do bulk cook stuff to a degree. At the moment, I haven't got a kitchen still. It's been like 4 months. So I'm just kind of doing what I can with what I have. It isn't the best, but it's my problem, not yours. So Tupperware, great tool for salads, for cooked food, for, you know, cold things, rice, pasta, salads, whatever it's going to be. And they can really help you if you're struggling with buying food and eating out. So if you're, you know, if you're at work, I've seen an office worker and everyone's going out and they're going to have their food, on the go out, or go buy a meal deal. That's the thing, isn't it? Meal deal from the garage around the corner, because they haven't got any food and they don't want to wait for food. But actually, this brings on a nice topic in a second, actually. But actually, if you just make wait, you've got your food, by the time you've gone out, got your food, bought it, paid for it, come back, sat down, ate it, you know, your Tupperware meal's done, bing, 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 off we go. I don't know what that was. But actually, I'm going to back on the topic real quick. Is a lot of people, not just for binge eating, that sort of stuff, even eating food that's a bit crap, is that we often get things like takeout and fast food because we can't be asked to cook. We're too tired to cook, as on ahead. Like, I'm gonna convince ourselves, go to all the scenarios in our head that are, oh, I'm too tired to cook, or it's not too bad. If I have one takeout, it's okay. And we talk ourselves into it, right? We talk ourselves into having a food that we know we potentially shouldn't have. Now, there's no, if you know me, you know, I'm not a fan of good food, bad foods, but because every food's just food, it's, you know, sometimes it's nice to have a bit of a doner kebab, but it's not the best thing for me at all. But it's not going to kill me by eating it. But, you know, we convince ourselves in our head that it's okay to do that because it's Monday. It's the first day at work. It's okay, I'll get back on track tomorrow. And then Friday, oh, it's a weekend. And Saturday, oh, I've been out all day. Too tired. It's easy. And that becomes a dangerous course because, you know, in that 15-second sentence, I convinced myself three times that I can have takeout. And if it's a family of four of you, that's 30 quid. Three times a week, it's $100, 100 quid, 100 pounds of takeout food, one meal, per, you know, in a week. So that's 400 a month in the space of 4 weeks. And that's 52 of those, 12 of those, 4,000 a year, you know. It can easily get into a position where it just becomes a expense. But the rest of it, when it comes to takeouts and things, different story. I'll get to that a bit more later on, I guess. But, you know, you don't have to back on the Tupperwares and things. We don't have to kind of prepare food in that way and be super regimented, but we do have to where if you struggle with kind of struggle with the mindset of knowing what to have, preparing your meals in your head or on paper, and in fact on paper on a calendar is a really good thing to do, and preparing them and thinking ahead. So for example, if you work a Monday, you know, a 9-to-5 job Monday to Friday, on a Sunday take 15 minutes, write out what you're going to eat, prepare a shopping list. You know, it's so much easier and financially better off for you if you can do that. My brother, for example, he does this. Oh, he used to. I don't know if he does nowadays, but him and his wife used to do this a lot. On a Sunday, they'd kind of prep their food to a degree. They'd know what they're going to have on Mondays for dinner. They'd know what they're going to have on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for dinner. And sometimes they get to that day and they go, oh, actually, I fancy chili. I'll make chili. Or whatever it's going to be. And if they're going to go, if they know they're going out for dinner, it's on the calendar. Because then you can literally see and look and go through that. Because you can prepare, you can write down recipes. If you want to write down recipes, write down the food you're going to eat. And then you know what you're going to eat. There's no guessing. Because half the time, I mean, this is my wife. She said, oh, what do you want to eat? I said, oh, she goes, I don't know. Anything. All right, about this, not that. So that's not anything really. But, you know, when you start procrastinating about food, you don't know what you're going to have for that dinner tonight, it's so much easier then for your mind to go, oh, I'll just have takeout because I can't bother to cook. I don't know what I want, can't be bothered. Let's go get chip shop or go get kebab or go get pizza. And like I've said, on their own, none of those foods are inherently bad. They're not going to kind of mess your body up to a position where, you know, you're ill in hospital or anything like that. But cumulatively, they can add up to a point where you're becoming unhappy because you're uncontrolled of the calories. Because as we all know, if you don't know, I'm going to tell you now, the key to a successful fat loss protocol is a calorie deficit. And I think that a lot of people kind of lose track with that. But when you have takeout, it's probably way more calories than you think. You might go, oh, I've got 1,000 calories, I can eat a kebab. And that kebab isn't weighed out. That kebab is different every single friggin' week. So you're not actually having the same amount of food. It's every week different. If you're having it twice a week, it's different each time. You might be having 2,000 calories in that. You know, maybe you have doner kebab and chips, maybe, you know, or fries, wherever you're coming from. Then, you know, you are having 1,000 calories worth of doner kebab or pizza. You're having chips top of that or fries top of that. Easily adds up. You can look on the back of any sort of 10-inch, 12-inch pizza, and that's 800 calories on its own from a shop. You have it from a Domino's or a Papa John's, that has extra 300, 400 calories onto it. I mean, it's absolutely delicious. But that becomes the problem. And a lot of addressing those issues are self-awareness. So, and being honest, holding yourself accountable. And as a coach, that's kind of my job as well, holding you accountable for those things, that the actions you've taken. Because if you start to, that's why I like tracking food so much, because if you track food, you track your nutrition. And that's a beautiful thing, again, if you prepare, you know, what you're having for dinner on a Sunday, you can add that into your tracking device. I mean, I use MyFitnessPal, but there's plenty of other out there. There's Lose It out there. There's, I can't remember the one off my head, but there's a few out there. Mike's Macros is a good one. It really helps things, breaks things down. It's actually a nice calculator as well for your macronutrient breakdown. It's a really good way of getting on top of your tracking, because you know at least one meal. Dinner time, you can just prepare dinner time. Your breakfast is going to be similar most days. Most people have cereal. Just make sure, obviously, you're tracking how much cereal. I mean, I have yogurt and some Greek yogurt and, well, sometimes it's a protein shake, sometimes it's some crumpets, some carbs. It kind of depending on whatever I want to to have on that day. But definitely I have similar, if not the same, breakfast every day. And I think most people are like that, realistically. Maybe they're having toast, maybe they're having a cup of coffee and a donut. But it's the same. Well, I'm not, probably not the best breakfast in the world, but it's, you know, it's New York City breakfast, so I hear. Or coffee and a bagel. Which I like. Bagels, not coffees. Tiramisu I like, but not coffees. But yeah, it's prepping that, because you then, your only meal that's potentially different if you eat 3 days a day is your lunch. And then if you're going to work, you're going to have probably similar sort of food, similar lunches every day. And then your evening meal, you've already prepared. You already know what you're going to have when you get home for dinner, because you made that on a Sunday. And that's your tracking. Then you know how much food you've got left to have. Then you know your nutrition is looking, because you've made a really good effort of preparing. And that took 15 minutes. Maybe half an hour. Let's say half an hour is probably a better idea. But again, most people are going to have similar meals throughout the week. Maybe you've got a pasta meal. Maybe you've got a pizza meal. Maybe you've got a steak and potato meal. Maybe you've got like a roast dinner on Sunday. Everybody's foods there are going to be kind of similar, because you're having similar foods. Yeah, your calories then are very similar. And then you can adjust. Okay, make small adjustments. So, and actually, if you're having adjustments for like snacks, that sort of stuff, maybe actually from 9 to 12 or 1 o'clock when you're at work, you need something in there to help settle around. So if you have, can plan for that snack, then, you know, you're okay. It's when you don't plan for a snack and then you go, oh, I need something to eat, and you eat 3 Snickers bars. Or a big bag of, air quotes, sharing crisps. Because those bags aren't sharing. They say sharing on the front, but they're not sharing. They're sharing with myself in about 10 bloody minutes. So they're not really about sharing. Well, they are meant to be for sharing with people, but they don't last that long. I mean, how many times, forgive me if I'm wrong, but I just sit there and just mindlessly eat. But that's an old habit, really. Sometimes it happens now, but that's okay. But there's a really good rule. It's called the No Doritos rule. And this has come from Mark Canty, because podcast I listened to with him in it. And it's really interesting, really fun. And I actually really like this. I think I spoke about it before. But he realized on holiday one day, he was just eating this big sharing bag of Doritos. Wasn't hungry. It was just there. So basically, he'd eaten 500 calories of this Doritos, whatever flavour they were. I mean, I like the cheese ones personally, but whatever flavour they were. Wasn't hungry, didn't want them, just did it. And that's mindless eating, right? That's just how we're eating mindlessly, just sticking our hand in a bag. Same thing you can do with a big bag of Haribo, popcorn, even the same thing. Like popcorn's not as bad because the volume of food you get from it for the calories is quite in your favour. But that's the Doritos rule, and we want to try and avoid those where we can. That's the non-sharing bag thing. That's one reason why I never have that in my house, because sometimes I can't control myself. Very rare, but sometimes that happens. And that's okay, because I think that everybody has a little thing. And my experience is everybody has a little thing. And I think people need to get around that. At least initially, so it can be a case of not having things in the house. And that works really well. But then, if that becomes a thing where you can't have a certain food ever because you can't control yourself, that's not a good relationship with food. And that's what we're trying to build. We always want to build good relationships with food. So the planning aspect of things, when we understand what food is, what we can have for food, and how we can implement bits and bobs into our nutrition tracking, that's the biggest part. So I guess what it comes down to is planning, right? So even if you're going to have to eat, I've got a video, a little video, short video on my YouTube channel. When I'm with my friend, we went out to Iceland to do some filming, and we was there. The last day, I was going to have something to eat. Okay, it's a place called the Bastard Bar. If you haven't been to Iceland, it's really, really good. It's kind of hidden away. It's just off of Main Street, and I can't pronounce the streets in Iceland. I'm pretty sure. I'm going to try, and it's going to be horrific. I'm pretty sure it's off the Langsverlugens here. Don't come to that one. It begins with L. And it's just off that. It's got its own little brewery in there. So if you like beer, it's great. for that. And I had the best beer I ever had. Now, once it's called the New York Joke, New Year's Joke. And it was really delicious. It's really nice food as well. When we got there, it was open about a month before we got there, to be fair. Really nice food. But anyway, I'm outside of it. And a little chat up to the camera, obviously. To you guys out there who might be struggling with some bits and bobs. About eating out. And the anxiety you have from eating out. Because I think... Yeah, that's my new catchphrase, I think. Said it again. Most people, when they come to tracking calories, or a lot of, not most people, a lot of people, a good substantial, a good handful of people, some people, let's say people, can have anxiety with eating out, and kind of, that really shows an unhealthy, oh not unhealthy, a bad relationship with food, where you stress about eating a food that's not the norm. When you're eating out, when you're trying different foods in a different place, like if you're on vacation, you're on holiday, like I'll be where at that point in Reykjavik over in Iceland, I'm gonna try whatever I can over there. And the same thing if I go to another country like Scotland. I mean, whiskey's what I have in Scotland, but you try delicacies in the local areas, don't you? You wanna try different foods. And if you had a bad relationship with food and you're going to worry about how many calories that food has in it, then you will find that you will struggle with that and you won't be enjoying your time. And that becomes a problem because we really want you to understand that you can eat out, no issue. And it's having little rules to stick to. And we can go through those on a later date. And maybe I'll kick 6 million of this episode. Another 15 minutes of this. And then off you go. You can go and do what you want to do. I mean, it's sunny as crap outside right now. I'm sweating my butt off. I'm a conservatory. My little office is my conservatory. But it's hot. I'm not having the fan on because all you hear in the background is ooh. And that wouldn't be very good for my voice. I'm tempted to, but I'm not going to. Where did I get to? Oh, yeah. Planning and eating out. So if you are eating out, back on track, yeah. So if you are eating out, you don't have to worry about what's on the menu. You know, just choose what you want. If you can adjust for it on the day, brilliant. If you can't, doesn't matter. It's one meal. One meal doesn't mean 3 hours of eating. It means a plate of food. Or sometimes three plates of food. But I have a two-course kind of rule to myself typically where I'd have a starter or dessert and a main. So I'd have one or the other. I never had both. Occasionally I do. My anniversary and things I will have, depends on the menu I guess. But yeah, I'm a starter person. I like savoury. But that's one thing you can do to it, keep your calories down. One or the other when you go eating out. And you don't have to finish all your food. I think a lot of people when they go out and they go, oh, I need to finish my plate, I paid for it. Well, you paid for it anyway. I say this to everybody else. It's my kind of my, this is my catchphrase, I think. I say this to lots of people. It's a waste in the bin, or it's a waste in your stomach. If you're eating it for the sake of it, because you've paid for it, then you need to reevaluate potentially your priorities to a degree. If you just paid 50 quid for a small bit of steak, eat your steak, because the steak's going to be fucking brilliant. I've been to some good steak places in my time, and some of them, the small steaks, isn't cheap, but in my opinion, they're worth it for that flavour and all that other bits and bobs. I'm not going to get into steak because it makes my mouth water. But just because you've paid for it doesn't mean you have to eat every single little bit of that plate. It means you can eat and enjoy it, try everything together as well, but doesn't mean you have to stuff your face full of whatever it is you've got there, okay? So that's one big tip for you guys when it comes to eating out. The other tip is just enjoy it. Enjoy the experience of eating out. Enjoy meeting with your friends or having a family dinner. Or, you know, well, there's always smart choice on the menu. But if you don't want the smart choice, you really want the chef's special when it's, you know, it's going to be 400 calories extra than the other meal. Have it. It's fine. It's a meal. It's not going to mess up your progress. But by then, get back on track. It's never about being perfect. and 100% perfect every day. It's never about that, because if you're 100% perfect every single day, like these people who do the proper meal, the meal prep where you prepare your food and you portion it all out into equal sizes, and you're, oh, that's how I do my food. That's great, fucking boring to me. But and bland as shit as well. Most like chicken and fucking rice and broccoli. Who wants to eat that every day? I mean, it's, I mean, most people overcook broccoli to start with. It takes about 2 fucking minutes. Excuse my French. But, you know, the idea is that prepping food, preparing your food, doesn't have to be Tupperware, right? Just be that. Enjoy the food you're having. Enjoy the experience of eating out. Enjoy having pizza, because everyone's having pizza. And don't. There's a video the other day I saw. I thought it was a meme, whatever else. Some dude on a TikTok video, whatever it was, scraping the toppings off pizza so we can have the toppings. It's like, oh, I'm having that. Some jacked up bodybuilding dude. It's like, fuck, man. Just eat the damn pizza. Eat the whole thing. Toppings are one of the best bits, but also the dough. Oh, do you get a decent pizza? The dough is insane. This is going to, I bet in this podcast, get more and more about food every day. But I don't mind, because I love food. But the point is, or going back to where I was, that we want to make sure that we're prepping in different ways. So here's some actual facts, right? So the guy I had on a call the other day, he's one of my clients, he started to struggle. So we got and jumped on a call. And a call for me really helps have a conversation and listen to the person, because I can feel their struggles, hear what they're saying, and kind of cut through the bullshit a little bit, to a degree, rather than just through email. But most of my stuff is done through email. But off track a little bit because of how his life was. I'm not going to say his name, of course, because it's private stuff, be made redundant, been offered a new job, still finishing off the work, it's an education. And we had a chat about some rules to put in place, and he's a very busy man at weekends. Super hectic. And for him, the idea of tracking 7 days a week wasn't good because of how on the go he was. And we talked about prepping food. We talked about, obviously, like, for example, on Saturday, he can be out super early in the morning and not get back till 8 o'clock at night. And they go out for dinner. Okay, so we said, all right, that's fine. On Sunday, he said his kid plays football or soccer. So they go and make sure they have a good breakfast for that. I said, okay, you're having breakfast. That's one meal you can control. Absolutely one meal you control. So Saturday morning, anyone gets breakfast. Or as a bacon wrap, you know, bacon sandwich. Fine. But then it's kind of the spiral happens afterwards is talking about the having a bacon sandwich in the morning shouldn't dictate how the day goes. So having a crappy breakfast doesn't mean they have a crappy lunch, crappy dinner. And it is going to smart restaurants, going to places that might do fast food, but it's not shitty food. A lot of people, that's probably the biggest factor, kind of finding a place to go and eat when you're having to eat out all the time without making yourself feel shit and having to really have your mind on the food. But I think the reality of it, people really forget, and I'm kind of guilty of this at one point, I think, kind of telling people you didn't have to think about, you know, you can eat pizza, eat all the food that you want to do, which is absolutely true. But you still have to kind of take action on things, right? So you still have to do the things you probably don't want to do, because you wanted to get somewhere you want right now. So doing the same actions you do right now and the same habits, the same almost lifestyle that you currently have, still means that you're going to have the same outcome. So sometimes you are going to have to be hungry, because that's just part of losing body fat, right? If you're starving all the time and you're in a position where actually you are starving and then binging, your calorie deficit is probably too low. But that's a different story, different subject to cover. But if you're just trying to fit things in your daytime, sometimes the willful suffering, because you're willing to suffer now to get what you want later on and kind of have a long life, compared to unwillful suffering, which is, you know, you're suffering when you don't want to suffer. So if you're 80 years old, you can't move anymore, but you're suffering, you didn't choose that. And when you're doing willful suffering in the kind of deficit aspect, that sort of stuff, then you're going to be hungry. It's not going to be particularly nice, but you shouldn't be starving. And in those situations, preparing something the night before to take out with you can be so important, so important, because then he's going to be able to go out with his son, watch his train football, play football, and not have to worry too much about what it's going to be. And I think the discussion we had really simply with the evenings of like Saturdays, that's when he gets back and he's tired, is there's nothing wrong with having takeout on those days, because we've covered his week. We've made him track, got him to track Monday to Friday, absolutely regimented, which is not a problem for him. He can do that every single week. It's the weekends that are the problem. So we pull the calories down, potentially 100 calories maybe on the week, make sure he's super strict with those, and that is like 80%. And the weekends we are mindful of what we're eating. So he's going to probably have takeout on a Saturday, maybe have takeout on a Sunday, or go out for dinner on a Sunday. He didn't say really, and the issue wasn't really takeout, it was eating out. But when you're eating out, you can make smart choices, because takeout is fast food, it's meant to be fast, it's probably full of fat, the calories are insanely high. But when you eat out in a restaurant, you can make smart choices. So if you're going out to a restaurant and you're going to have a Sunday dinner, you go to a carvery, wherever you have that, you don't have to eat a massive plate full of cauliflower cheese. You don't have to eat 16 roast potatoes. You don't have to eat 4 pigs in blankets and, you know, 3 big spoonfuls of stuffing. You can eat, you know, the meat they give you, or whatever it is you have in the carvery, and then have some peas, some carrots, some vegetables, and then have a couple of potatoes, a little bit of cauliflower cheese. And that's going to be probably 600-700 calories, depending on how much you actually have. So that's a really good smart choice. And you know, with this guy, we put him on the weekends, we're giving him 2,500. So that's plenty of calories to fit in for one meal then. Because they have 3 meals that way, and he's still going to be under. I think a lot of people really worry about how much a meal is calorie-wise. You know, people go, oh, it's just a 200-calorie meal. Well, that's great, but it's just going to be fucking boring and small and shit. Most of my meals are at least 700 calories. I try to eat three or four of those a day at least. Because I can have more of it, I have lots of it, it's bloody brilliant. That's how we deal with those things. So we're prepping his food by being mindful of what we're doing. We're not physically prepping food, we're not going into the kitchen and going, okay, I've got to cook all this chicken for this weekend, get all this rice up for that, and that's you, brilliant. You can do that, amazing, and you'll see some damn good results with that, but it's not sustainable for the majority of people who aren't able to be super strict for the long term. And I don't believe that you possibly can be super strict for the long term, in my opinion. Prove me wrong, right? That's fine, but can you do it? You know, there are a few people like Mark Bell has been carnivore for years, and awesome, great for him. Do I think it's stupid? Yeah, but it can work. Same with keto. People think, "Oh, keto's stupid. It's not this thing, it's not this thing, either." And I get that a lot with work. People have their own opinions, and I think the fitness industry is very opinionated with lots of little facts. Is keto the best diet? No. Does it work? Yeah. Is it sustainable? Potentially, but probably not. I know people who've been keto for years, and friggin' love it. Absolutely love it. I know people who started keto, and were shit at it, so no longer on keto. The big difference of having being able to do something short term and then being able to do something long term sustainable. But back on the meal prep kind of thing, is meal prep doesn't have to be Tupperware boxes and microwave and prepping your bags and how many, you know, boiled egg whites you're having, all that sort of crap. And that sort of rubbish. It can be that, but it doesn't have to be that. And for the majority of people, that's probably not a good thing for them to really do, because all your mind's going to be on, if you don't eat this food, then you're not going to gain progress. Well, actually, in reality, is if you prepare your food and think about what's going ahead, which means then they are now flexible. So if you then if you prepare your food Monday to Friday, and then all of a sudden on a Friday you've got invited to a friend's, you know, kid's birthday or baby shower, whatever it's going to be, and having pizza, you can have pizza. It's okay, because that one meal, that one week, it's off track a little bit. But everything else has been on track, so that's not going to make any difference in your progress, because it's only one. If it becomes two or three, that's still okay. If it becomes four or five or six or seven, then that's probably something to look at. Because there's no real set way of meal prepping. There's no real set way of achieving fat loss, except for one factor, which is you have to have a calorie deficit. That's a simple maths. And I think a lot of social media, again, is picking up a bit more, where people are really trying to push other scientific methods and saying it's not just that calories in, calories out simplifies everything too much. It fucking doesn't. That's the basis of it. How you get there is the hard part, and how you can sustain that is the hard part. It's not about being in a calorie deficit, because that's a piece of fucking piss. I can get you to do that right now. Drop something on the floor. That wasn't clever. But how you stay in the calorie deficit, and the strategy you use to be there, and because it might take you, it depends how obvious what you are, but it might take you a year, 2 years, 3 years, four, 5 years to get where you want to be, and then we have to maintain that or change it if your goals change. It's not just, well, I'm going to lose my fat now. I say you got 20 pounds, lose my 20 pounds now, and I'm happy, back to where I was, because that's going to get you back to where you were. It's not just meal prepping your food, it's how can you do it without driving yourself fucking crazy, really. That's not the main part of it. So I hope this has really been informative to you guys. So yeah, big thanks for tuning in, and I hope I haven't rambled too much. And if you haven't noticed, I've got some lovely voice and audio kit, like I said, that you guys can hear me better on, I hope. If you hear some birds tweeting as well, that's good, because the birds are nice. So that's it. And the door's open. That's why you can hear them. Mm. So that's it. Thank you for joining in. Next week, because it's been a few weeks now to this episode, and I apologise for this. I've had some technicality issues with this new kit, and then life got in the way, and I'm competing again in 7 days. So that takes a big part of my life. So that's a really good, well, part of what I am. So that's going to take a change in the year, and I'll go through that on my next podcast. Actually, that'll be interesting for you guys to listen to from a power perspective, if you like that, and we'll go from that one. Okay, so enjoy. I really hope that you have learned something from this and took some decent stuff away, and I'll speak to you again soon. Thank you very much. Bye bye. So thank you for joining me for the Strong for Long podcast, episode 19, all about meal prep. I hope you've had some, I've taken away some really good information that can help you in your life. I understand I rambled a little bit, but it's really fun to do this episode with the new kit that I've got. I hope you guys value hearing my voice better as well. I hope you enjoy your day. Come back to see me. And again, of course, please leave me some reviews and things. I'd love to get myself higher up to help more people out with their challenges in their lives, with their training, nutrition, anything sort of thing to do. So leave me some comments, leave me some likes, ask some questions. And I hope in the future I do a Q&A as well, okay? Thank you very much again. Enjoy your day.